Hello, thank you for listening to this sermon from our Revive service. We hope it helps you learn more about God and allow you to grow closer to Him and in your faith.
Good morning. Thank you, Desiree. If you have your Bibles and you're willing, will you turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes? Ecclesiastes, we'll be finishing up chapter 1 this morning. I'm going to need some volunteers here in just a little bit, so you be mindful and be thinking if you want to come up and help me here. I have bubbles this morning. I do want to say that there are people who tune in each Sunday online, and they have kind of created a little community there, which is great. And because of the inability to be able to come in and be here physically, they tune in each Sunday. They share prayer requests. Justin is usually one of those, especially during the winter months when he has to be careful with his health. And so, Justin, I just want to report to you that the girls all say hello to you. They saw you on the camera. They're like, we think Justin's there today. And so they're spying out. And so excited that they can join with us. Richard DeHaan writes in his book, The Art of Staying Off Dead-End Streets. He says this, almost everyone experiences occasional gnawing feelings of anxiety and terror. Usually these emotions are hard to define or analyze. They include a sense of guilt, a fear of punishment, a horror of the unknown, and the dread of death. These thoughts and feelings give rise to a number of questions. Who am I? Do I have an immortal soul? Why am I here? How can I know what is right and what is wrong? What will happen to me after I die? Dr. DeHaan says this, these are the basic problems of existence, and men have grappled with them since the beginning of time. And I just would like to say, wouldn't you think after all these years, we would have clarity and answers to all these questions? Well, today's passage that we're going to look at helps us to realize that we still grapple with these, and we grapple with many more questions. Part of that issue is because we will never gain enough wisdom in order to answer every single issue of our life. And so if you have your text there with me, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, if you're willing and able to stand with me, I want to read this passage. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 12 through 18 here. So you can follow along with me. It's on the screen behind me. And follow along in the text there with you. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 12. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I have applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight. What is lacking cannot be counted. I said in my heart, I have acquired great wisdom, surpassing all who were ever over Jerusalem before me. And my heart has had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I applied my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is but a striving after wind. For in much wisdom is much vexation, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to open up your word here this morning. I pray that your spirit would work in our minds and hearts. Lord, may we allow your spirit freedom to move us, to change our minds, to change our hearts, to change our very core of our being, Lord. And may we listen to your spirit as you speak today to us through your word. And Lord, may we give you praise and thanks. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. You may be seated. If you'd like to come and help me, I can have up to, five helpers? Is there five? One, two, three, four, five. All right, Bennett. All right, come on up. You four, the four girls and Bennett. All right. Bennett, you know what this is? Here, let me open it. What is that?
Bubble.
Yeah. It's kind of like a wedding cake, and those are bells. So why don't you guys each grab a white one, okay? And then why don't you guys go down on the floor there, and you guys can blow a few bubbles, okay? All right? Just stand right there, and I did test some of these before, and there's still bubbles up here, so I'm hoping that's a good sign. So these bubbles are just normal bubbles, right? Don't blow them in each other. You guys okay?
They're so fun.
They're so fun. Isn't this great? You guys didn't wake up this morning thinking, ah, I'm going to blow bubbles in church today. So as you blow these bubbles, they're really cool, but what happens to them? Oh, nice catch.
They pop.
Yeah, they pop, right? They don't last. Oh, what happened, Bennett? You tried to catch it and... Ooh, good job, Clara. Millie got one too. Oh, you blew it again. Oh, a double. Then you made three.
I did.
From two. So bubbles are really cool. Now, Leah, let that just sit there for a second, and let's see what happens. Yeah, you hold on to yours too, Clara. All right, just hold on to it, and you guys let me know when it pops, okay? Oh, yours popped. It didn't last. And yours popped. Millie, tell me when it pops, okay? Bennett, yours too. All right. Bubbles are really cool, but their problem is they don't last, right? It's hard to wait that long, isn't it, Bennett? As we think about this, as they're still enjoying, the truth is all of us are living inside of bubbles that we've built. Oh, and Millie's just popped. All right, so take a break from those. Just take a break. I've got something fun planned. So put your lids on and just wait right there for a second. All of us are living inside of bubbles that we've built. And what these bubbles are is what we think will satisfy our heart. And as we look at them, they look pretty. They look good. They feel right. But the truth is, just like these bubbles, they're fragile. Right? Now, we have something really cool here. You guys bring your bubble, those up here, and then take one of these. All right? All right? So go back down on the floor here. Now, this time, I don't want you to try to catch them. I just want you to blow them. All right? Can you get it? It's some of them I didn't open and test. Others I did test. It feels like gel. They're actually called glue bubbles.
Oh my gosh.
Now, trippy. Don't touch them. Just kind of blow them up higher in the sky. Now, oh, that is cool.
Whoa, that's cool.
Like,
you can make so many in just one. I'm not sure. I'm gonna... Wait, guys. Guys, watch this.
Ready? Wait. You caught one with your hand. You couldn't do that with the other bubbles, right? Sorry for those of you who are in the front row. You're going to be attacked here. Yeah. You might have a spot on your Bible. All right. Now, you guys take a break. That's really cool. Here, do a couple more, but do them this way. Don't blow them on the instruments. Not too close. All right. Okay. Now, turn around real quick. Look here. Bennett's onto something. What do you got there, buddy? Look at all of them. It's like snow. Poor Desiree and Carlton, they're all over them. Miss Cheryl has them all in her hair. I apologize.
Look,
they're family. So these are really cool bubbles because they last a little bit longer, huh? They're really cool. Look at you guys. I'm not going to get you back for the rest of for the next 10, 15 minutes. The cool part about these bubbles is they last a little bit longer. But the problem with these bubbles is still the problem that we had with the first bubbles is they will still what?
They still pop.
They still pop, right? All right. They're kind of gluey, right? That's why they're called glue bubbles. All right. Here you go, Millie. Did you want one?
There was still a popped floating one.
Mm. Bennett's trying to catch them all. I have them on my feet. Look at you guys. Look at all these bubbles here. They're still here. It's a good thing we're getting our carpet cleaned soon. So. All right, bring your bubbles back up, guys, and go ahead and set them on there. And I will allow, if you guys want one to take home, I will allow you to take a bubbles home. Any? Good job. Bennett, your job is at the end of my time preaching, show me how many bubbles are left. Okay? All right, you hold on to those. And you can hold on to yours too. You tell me how many you got left. You have 21? Okay. All right. We'll count them afterwards and see how many you have. Some of you are like, oh, look, 22. Good job, Bennett. I should mark this down as an illustration, probably not to do on a Sunday morning, but that's okay. As we look at these bubbles, we blow the bubbles and we enjoy them for a moment. We see them floating around for a moment. That's what Solomon is talking about, our lives. And we try to blow these bubbles that will give us satisfaction, that will give us meaning of life. We see these bubbles as the importance as we are living out life. And the world says, you've got to have this bubble. This bubble is going to help you with life. Or we view this new thing. This is going to help me with explaining why life is the way it is. But what we see over and over and over again, and we're going to see this not only today, we're going to see where Solomon will actually take those bubbles and he will pop them one by one. This week, we look at the bubble of wisdom, where we just say, man, if I can understand life better, then I'll live better. If I can figure life out, if I can figure it out, whatever is the problem, if I can figure it out, then I'll be able to fix it. If I can just gain enough insight, that's what wisdom is, right? It's a yearning that I could have that insight, then things will make sense. But the preacher here, he disrupts that kind of thinking, and he helps us to see that clarity doesn't mean you have control. Just because you see something doesn't mean you fully understand it. And what you do understand, what he will take us through in this adventure of wisdom, is ultimately more wisdom leads to grief and sorrow. What we see here in the verse 12, the preacher, or the Koheleth is the Hebrew word, the preacher or teacher here is the king over Israel in Jerusalem. And again, for me, this makes total sense. I know there's other scholars and people who may believe differently, but I just believe that this is Solomon, and it goes right in line with the gift that God had given Solomon when he requested the one thing he wanted, wisdom. And so God gave him wisdom, and I think it's fitting here that Solomon's first bubble that he's going to pop is the one thing that God gave him that was far over everyone else in the world. And so we see this king over Israel as Solomon. There's a couple points in our notes as we walk through this. 3 points as we look and see that wisdom isn't enough. The first is this: wisdom searches, but it can't secure meaning. Wisdom searches, but it can't secure meaning. The preacher sets out to search by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It's like he's stepping into school, and as he enters into school, he wants to gain wisdom so that he may come out knowing why and what the purposes of life under heaven are for. It is interesting, his phrase here, that he would say under heaven, where in just a moment, he's going to be speaking again about being under the sun. His search begins that he says, I am applying my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. Here's my pursuit. What we notice is that as he is pursuing, notice the terms of I and me and my. It's a reminder to me that man's pursuit is limited because our perspective is limited. It's a limited approach. What we see under heaven, what we see under the sun is limited. And so we see and we try to claim and we blow these bubbles that we're living in and we're saying, this is the answer. And yet we're reminded again and again, as Solomon the preacher is sharing with us, this is all from a perspective of under the sun. Here's our issue. You and I, in our quest for meaning of life, Solomon records for us, is like shepherding the wind. Next week, Jimmy will be preaching for us, and he's going to be taking a look at the self-indulgence. And he's like, that's news to me. Am I preaching? Really? Mike and I will be headed to Romania for a trip to help the Postumas out. And so Jimmy will be preaching next Sunday, and then Pastor David the following Sunday, as they again look to pop these bubbles, self-indulgence, enjoying all of life and all of the world. Does that satisfy? And Jimmy will take a look at that. Pastor David, then 2 weeks from now, we'll be taking a look at our work. And when we work and we strive, will that provide meaning? And the truth is, again, bubble after bubble after bubble, Solomon is popping. And along the way, we see here that man's issue, this is our issue, we pursue our quest for meaning of life is like shepherding the wind. Pastor David will probably talk about this during his week, but I would encourage you, look at the Message Bible and see how Eugene Peterson comes up with this phrase. It's an interesting way to be able to phrase shepherding the wind. When we look at this idea of striving after the wind, the Hebrew word really means to shepherd. And so how do you shepherd the wind? We looked at that a little bit last week with Leah. Leah had we had a candle here, and I asked her to grab the smoke, and she wasn't able to do that. And so so we considered that a failure. No, it's just the true reality. It's not Leah's fault. She didn't have to be good enough in order to do that. And that's what the preacher is helping us to see. In our pursuit of the meaning of life, it's like shepherding the wind. Can you shepherd the wind? And you think about what a shepherd does, is how he protects and how he provides and how he steers his sheep. That's the meaninglessness of what it means when we look to try to do that with the wind. We can't do that. And so our issue is we want to do that. We want to figure that out. Number two, our second point is wisdom sees clearer but can't fix reality. And so while wisdom searches deeply, what do we actually find? When we see this, in verse 15 as the preacher quotes, he says, what is crooked cannot be made straight. A corkscrew cannot be pulled and made straight. What is lacking cannot be counted. How do you know what you're lacking? How can you count it if you don't know? And so this is the turning point in this pursuit of wisdom. where the truth is, wisdom exposes, helps us to see the injustices of our life. We learn and we say, this is injustice, and yet wisdom can't necessarily fix injustices. Wisdom exposes broken systems, and it also exposes broken people. The people build the systems, and yet wisdom can't untangle it all. If you've ever been part of the system, you understand the frustrations. No matter what system it is, it can't fully untangle and become crystal clear. Wisdom helps expose this. Wisdom also exposes our personal limitations, the personal limitations that you and I can't overcome because we're human and we're fallen men that are not perfect. Even though we gain wisdom and insights, we can gain all the knowledge, and yet we are limited because of our own personal limitations. As I get older and older, the more I realize my personal limitations. One, because I feel it, and two, my children help point that out every day. Understanding reality doesn't equal the ability to change it. It's like this. It's like you diagnose a disease with perfect accuracy, but you have no cure. Think about the bubbles. Just looking for a bubble. There's still bubbles there, right? Look at the bubbles. Here's what we believe, a bubble. If I can just figure out my life, if I can just understand my past, if I can just make sense of my future, then I'll finally be at peace. But the preacher tells us something very unsettling. He says, what is crooked cannot be straightened. And then he says, with much wisdom comes much sorrow. And so the bubble pops. The problem isn't that wisdom is bad. The problem is we've asked wisdom to do something that it was never meant to do. Wisdom can diagnose, but wisdom can't heal. Wisdom can expose, but wisdom cannot restore. We live in a culture, don't we? A culture that is obsessed with podcasts, a culture that is obsessed with self-awareness, a culture that says, hey, if you get into therapy, that you can understand more and then you can be healed. We live in a culture that is constantly learning, and you need to learn more and more and more. In order to advance and move forward, you need more wisdom. And yet when we look around us, anxiety, depression, and dissatisfaction continue to rise and rise and rise and rise. Why is that? It's because wisdom can't satisfy. Awareness without redemption leads to despair. Our third point is this. Wisdom increases, and so does sorrow. We see here in verse 18, for in as much wisdom is much vexation, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. What we see here is the landing point where Solomon, the preacher, comes to, where he says, the more you know about yourself, the more flaws you begin to see. The more you understand the world, the more brokenness you feel. The more you grasp time and mortality, the more you realize how fragile life really is. Now, let me just share this. This is not an anti-wisdom sermon. All right, so don't walk out of here and say, "Oh, I don't need wisdom." That's not what Solomon is saying. There is great profit to wisdom, and we should pursue wisdom. If you don't believe that, read the book of Proverbs. All right, wisdom is important. What we're talking about is a reliance upon wisdom to do something that it was never meant to do. We're not anti-wisdom. We're anti-ultimate trust in wisdom. And maybe you know people, or maybe you've been one of those people, or maybe you sit here today and you are one of those people where you're trusting in wisdom to allow you to move forward. Truth is, you will be disappointed. Eventually, your bubble will pop. God isn't against wisdom. He's against us placing our hope in it when he alone is the one who can provide for us. Jesus is the one who provides hope for us. When we think about this gaining wisdom as we get older and older and as we move along in wisdom, think about this picture, right? Think about a child versus an adult. I love these five that came and helped us this morning. They don't have any fear. They just laugh. They're giggling, right? They're just, but what am I doing? As an adult, I'm like, man, those bubbles are making a mess. Man, I'm going to have to clean those up. How are we going to get those up, cleaned up out of the carpet? That's what's going on in my mind. Why? Because I'm an adult. Those kids have carefree, they're just loving life. I'm not saying that they're dumb. I'm just saying that they don't have that experience and where that wisdom, and it's the exact picture of what what the preacher is saying. As you gain more wisdom, there's a heavier burden that is placed upon you. That's why when our kids were little and they were out playing around, we're like, yeah, that's fun. But then you become grandparents, and then you think all about all the horrible things and all the horrible stories that you've heard about so-and-so's grandchild that fell off the monkey bars and broke their arm, and you're like, get down from there. Don't play up there. What is that? It's a burden. You know what that shows me? Solomon knows what he's talking about. He knows this weight. That knowledge, it doesn't just inform us. Wisdom doesn't just give us insights. It's also a burden. Ecclesiastes leaves us with this question then. If wisdom isn't enough, what is? And the answer isn't more wisdom. The answer is Jesus. Jesus is enough. Wisdom reveals the problem. Jesus redeems the problem. Where Solomon says what is crooked cannot be straightened, the gospel tells us that God specializes in restoring what is broken. See, Jesus doesn't offer just insight. He offers us redemption for what is broken and what is crooked. He gives us grace for what is lacking, and he gives us hope beyond what we can understand. I love when Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, where he writes, "The foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom." Isn't that comforting? That our God is that big? The foolishness of God is wiser than any human wisdom. The truth is, you and I, we don't need more explanation. What we need is we need a Savior. And let me tell you this morning, that Savior is Jesus Christ. And he gave his life so that you could have life with him forever. So that as you experience all these bubbles of life popping around you, that you could be provided the hope of the one thing that will give you the eternal bubble. The one that will never pop. The one that doesn't leave remnants behind. Jesus Christ came and he lived a sinless and perfect life. And he died on the cross for you. To pay the penalty for your sins. So that you could live forever with him. So that you can enjoy the true relationship with the God who created you. You will live in such a way pursuing what is the meaning of life, and it will not be found until you look to Jesus. Jesus offers that meaning of life, and he offers the hope of salvation. Jesus died on the cross, taking all of our sin. He was buried, and he rose again 3 days later, conquering sin and death. Jesus conquering sin and death, paving the way for us to live forever. We can't do that by ourselves. We can't redeem ourselves. There's not enough learning or knowledge or wisdom to be gained in order to save yourself. Because even our good deeds, our good things that we can come up with are like filthy rags to a perfect God. And so he provides us hope, and that hope is by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I hope and I pray that you've accepted him as Savior. And if you haven't, today's the day to do that. That regardless of whatever bubbles get popped in your life, there is one that will stay forever, and that is Jesus. He is the constant. He is forever. He is our Savior. What bubble are you living in right now? Get ready. Because sooner or later, it's going to pop. Bennett, how many bubbles you got left, buddy? Zero. Leah? They're all popped. Zero. There's a couple on the floor there. Emily's got one. Three. Four. I saw Eliana with one back there somewhere. Did hers pop? Yeah. The truth is, your bubble may stay a while, but it's not going to last forever. Jesus is the constant. Next week, we'll see, as I shared, the preacher goes after another bubble. The one says that maybe it's not about understanding, maybe it's just about feeling good. We'll see how that bubble lasts. Here's a couple questions that I have for you to ask and to be honest with yourself this morning. What's your motivation for getting up each morning? Why do you get up each morning? What motivates you as you start your day? As we go throughout this book, again, bubble after bubble after bubble, Solomon will pop. How you answer this question is of supreme importance to your life and what God wants to do with you. Think about this question. How would you describe true joy to a friend who knows nothing of this? How would you describe true joy? Again, they're living in a bubble, and that bubble's fun. Bubbles are great. They're beautiful and they're fun, but they don't last. So how would you describe to a friend what that true joy, that bubble that Jesus gives us, how would you describe that to them? The truth is, God has left you and placed you and me here that we would continue to tell the people around us about the one that satisfies our every longing. The one that has come not to give us just life, but to give us life abundantly. The truth is, if you don't see this life as a true joy, then how can you share it with other people? Which goes to my first question, is what's motivating you every day to get up and to get moving? Here's question number three. As the preacher will continue to help us to see, death is a reality. We saw that as we walked through the cycles last week. His creation shows us that. And so this question, what are you doing right now to distract you from facing the reality of death? I get distracted very easily. But there are things that happen in my life that remind me over and over again quickly that this life is not forever. Let me remind you this morning, your life is not going to last here on this earth. You are not going to live forever. Are you just distracting yourself from that coming day? Here's the final question that I think as we walk through this series that I want to continue to pose to you as we think of the futility of pursuing anything and trying to find fullness apart from God. Here's the question. How do I live now, life now, that begins with the view of the end? You see the end, and because you're viewing that, how do I live now? Why do you get up each morning? What are you pursuing? Solomon shares with us, wisdom is not enough. And in fact, it just brings more and more burden. How are you living life now? That begins with the view of the end. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you, Lord, that when we come to you, that you've told us that if we abide in you and you in us, it is us that then bear much fruit. Because apart from you, Lord, we can do nothing. God, you are the one who created everything. You are the one who holds everything in your hand. You are the one who calls us to love you, to obey your commands, and to care for the things in this garden for this time. Thank you, Lord, that you are sovereign and you are in control over all things. Thank you, Lord, for your provisions for us, the provision of wisdom that we can gain insights, that we can understand a little better. And yet, Lord, we are reminded here again this morning, it still falls short. And so, Lord, may wisdom do the purpose that it's intended to do, to help give us understanding, to help give us perspective, to help us turn to the one who has all the answers, to turn to the one, Jesus Christ, the one who has delivered us from sin and who will deliver us from all eternity in a real place called hell. Lord, as we wake up each morning, may we humbly be reminded that none of what we see is permanent. Nothing of what we're doing is permanent. The truth is, we're going to die. And yet, Lord, you give us joy. You give us joy because we know that this life here on this earth is not the end. And so may we be purposeful in pursuing this life the way you intend us to live. Not getting distracted, not getting wrapped up, as we've seen this morning, not pursuit of wisdom to answer all of our questions. But Lord, we pursue you, fearing you, in all of you, obeying you, and loving you, and trusting you. Because without faith, it is impossible to please you. And so, Lord, may our lives show the difference that Christ makes. We pray this in his blessed and most holy and wonderful name, the name of Jesus. Amen.